Hey, you're listening to Blindsight. Let's go. Mental health isn't something to take lightly. It's time to fight. It's time to thrive. Let's do this.
Welcome to Blindsight. This is Bill Lundgren, your host, and we're continuing the process of understanding and highlighting the 12 steps created by AA and hopefully making it relevant to everyone. And today we're particularly pleased to have as our guest Kevin Peterson, who is an author, counselor, couple family counselor, who's worked extensively in the addiction field. And Kevin, it's a delight to have you on board. Welcome.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate you having me.
Great. Well, what we're talking about today is step 9. And I wonder, Kevin, if you could kind of explain step 9, particularly because for many people, it's a very scary process.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody that I know tries to avoid it, quite honestly.
Well, yeah. Thanks, man. I appreciate that. I've been continuously sober since May 5th, 1991. And my experience with working the steps was that at about a year and a half sober, I had not worked the steps and I was starting to lose my mind. And the thought process came through that I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go back to drinking because I was having more fun.
Right.
And I expressed that to a friend of mine and he's like, yeah, I know what you're thinking. I was thinking about killing myself, but I started to go to this other meeting and these people work the steps and I think you might like it. So I started going with him. And at about a year and a half, my life changed. A year and a half sober, my life changed because I fell into the arms of a group of people that said, we work the steps as if our life depends on it because it turns out our life depends on it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I loved your lead in, by the way, that so many people try to avoid step 9. Like, here's the thing, right? Is that at step 4, right, making the fearless and searching moral inventory, we lose a certain amount of people because they just don't want to do it.
Right.
And then at step 9, we lose another round of people that are just like, I'm not willing to make amends. I'm not willing to take responsibility. And so I always tell people that 4 and 9 separate, you know, sort of the social members from the serious members of whatever 12-step group you're in. So my experience and how I always go through this when I'm explaining it to someone or when I'm sponsoring someone is with every step, there's a technical side of it and then there's a spiritual side of it.
Mm-hmm.
So the technical side of step 9 is very straightforward. It's very black and white. You know, if you've gone through the first 8 steps and you've been very diligent and followed through, you know, 1, powerlessness, unmanageability. 2, I mean, when you do that, you come screaming into step 2. You're like, I need help. And in 2 and 3, you get the help. And then we walk into 4. And we start writing everybody that annoys, you know, every person, place, or thing that angers us. And then we share that. And 6 and 7, we get our character defects through the 5th step. They all flow perfectly. And then we get to 8. And people are always like, well, you know, how do I know who I need to make amends to? I'm like, well, let me just tell you where I come from. If I'm making a list of people that I'm angry at, person, places, or things that I'm angry at. I don't know about you, but when I'm angry at someone, I don't keep it to myself. I tend to be the kind of person that wants to share his feelings, emotions with everybody around me. And I also tend to take actions behind that. So I would go back and look at your 4th step and say, what did I do to these people that I was angry with? And that tends to be where you get your 8-step list. And now we're at step 9. So the technical side of step 9 is there are 4 parts to step 9. The first part is, here's the harm that I have caused. And you just, like, depend, and if it's, it can be whoever, my sponsor actually said, I want you to go get a bunch of 4x6 note cards. This was back in 1993 when nobody did things on a phone because we didn't have phones.
True.
And he's like, on the front side of the card, I want you to write the person's name. And then number 1 underneath that, what you did, you know? That's the harm that I've caused. And the second thing is, and put number 2, and this is the part that's really, this is where the it shifts. Please tell me how it affected you. And then the third question is, have I left anything out? That's the one I don't like, you know, because, wow, they always remember things that I don't remember.
Right.
You know? And the fourth thing is, how can I make it right? And that's all out of the big book, you know? And here's the most important thing to understand. The 9th step is not an apology. It's making amends. If you, I pity the guys that I sponsor, because I took Latin for 4 years in high school. And so I have a very literal concepts of words. And the word amend means to fix. Right? It doesn't mean to apologize. Right. It means to fix. You're definitely going to apologize. You're going to say, I'm really sorry that I stole money from you. You know, or I'm really sorry that I, you know, for whatever action that I did that harmed you. And then you're asking them is, how can I make this right? What can I do to set this straight between the two of us? And that's where people get scared, right? Because they're afraid, well, what if they say, I want $100,000?
Right.
You can say, I'm sorry, I don't have $100,000. It doesn't say in the big book that you have to do what they ask. It says you have to be willing to put yourself in that situation and clean the slate. And here's the, to me, this is the most important thing to remember when making amends with someone or, you know, calling to make the appointment to make amends. Because, and by the way I was taught, everything's in person.
Yeah.
You know, we don't do the,
that's even scarier.
I write a letter. Right. Exactly. And there's some people that you can't, some people, like, I get it. They live on the other side of the country. You're not going to fly across the country to say, you know, I took $20 out of your wallet. I'm sorry. You know, I mean, it's like you that one. Okay, fine. But for the majority of people, you know, my sponsor was like, oh no, you'll be making these in person. No questions asked. By the way, my sponsor's nickname was Pay the Money Back Jack. So you can tell nothing got left undone, you know, but you call them up, you'd say, hey, this is outlined in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. It says, you know, hi, you know, it's Kevin and I'm, you know, I don't know if you know, I'm sober. I'd like to sit down and talk to you. I'd like to make amends to you. And they may say, oh, hell, let's just do it on the phone. Okay, sure. They're in charge, not you. You know, no problem. But here's the thing that I find that most people don't understand. You're not putting yourself in their hands. You're putting yourself in your higher power's hands and letting your higher power handle the process and work the magic that only can get worked in the process of making amends. And the most amazing things happen. You know, you clean your side of the street, yes, but you also get to a space where the other person, I made amends to a woman that I had dated. And she looked at me one day when I was still drinking. And she said, you know, I want you to be my boyfriend. I love you, but you've got to quit drinking and doing so many drugs and sleeping with other women. And I was like, oh, let me get back to you. You know, and I didn't, right? I didn't get back to her. I was like, I'm not giving those things up. Screw it. And then a year later, you know, this was a couple months before I got sober. So, you know, the last 90 days before we get sober, things are going really well. You know, bombs are going off on a daily basis, you know, and I ran into her and I was bartending and she came into the bar and then I called her that night and, you know, I was drunk and I was crying. I love you. Oh my God. She's like, well, I'm already dating somebody else. You know, that moment's gone. And oh my God. So when I called her to make amends to her, I said, hey, you know, I'd like to make amends to you. And she's like, okay, great. I'm happy to hear it. And I said, here's the situation. Here's the harm that I remember. I remember when you told me, you know, these things had to happen and I never got back to you. And she's like, yeah. I said, can you tell me how that affected you? And she's like, well, that really hurt. I really loved you. And I really thought you and I were going to go places. And that just really crushed me. And it, you know, it made me feel really awful. And I was like, okay, I'm sorry for that. And then I said, is there anything I left out? She's like, yeah, there is. And I was like, really? What's that? And she said, well, when I told you no, do you remember what you said? And I'm like, no, I don't. She goes, you asked me for my friend's number. And I was like, oh, sorry about that. That was horrible. And she's like, yeah, that really hurt. Because you called me professing your undying love to me and told me I was the one. And when I said no, you're like, well, hey, that redheaded girl I saw you with, can I talk to her? You know, and I was like, yeah, that sounds like me. That sounds like something I would do. So when I made amends to her and then said, you know, how can I make this right? She's like, you've made it right. You've taken responsibility. You've come to me, you've cleared the slate. And she's like, I want to let you know what you just did. I couldn't think about you without having a bad taste in my mouth or a bad feeling inside. And you've taken that away. I now don't think that way about you. And I was like, oh, you know, thank you so much. That means so much to me. And she's like, well, I'm so proud of you. And I think you're doing such great work. But, you know, keep doing what you're doing. Don't give up. That's one of my big amends stories. Here's the other one that I think is really important to understand is that. So I got sober in 91 and I was in the middle of was doing some sales training programs that were like, you know, on weekends and nights. And I moved back. I was in San Francisco and I moved back down to Los Angeles. And I needed to borrow some money for the flights to come back to San Francisco to complete the training. And another friend of mine, another woman, said, here, use my credit card. And I did. And I maxed out her credit card on these flights, swearing to God I was going to pay her back immediately. Well, 2 years later, I called her to make amends. I had paid her back, but I didn't pay her back for like a year and a half. And I said, hey, I want to make amends to you. And she said, great, let's have coffee. So we sat down and had coffee. I said, you know, look, I know you offered me your credit card. I know I maxed it out. And I know that I didn't pay you for almost 2 years. And that's my responsibility, 100%. And so that's the harm I caused. Please tell me how it affected you. And she said, I'm going to tell you how it affected me. I was on a trip to Hawaii with my boyfriend and he was riding a scooter and he got hit by a car and went into the ICU and went into a coma. And the only thing he had been paying for everything. And the only thing I had was that credit card and it was maxed out. So I had no way to pay for anything. And I was literally, you know, sleeping on the bench at the hospital. I had to call my father and he had to wire me, you know, money through Western Union. And she's like, and I know that you paid me back and I appreciate that, but I need to let you know the impact of your actions and your behavior and how it harmed me. She's like, it's not your fault that he got hit by a car, but it was your fault that I didn't have access to any money on that credit card. And I said, you're 100% right. And I said, what can I do to make it right? She's like, you're doing it. You've already paid back the money. You've taken responsibility. And to me, that's the maturity. That's the big moment of step nine, is that you're taking responsibility and you're owning what your actions were and you're offering to make a change. Does that make sense?
It does. I was a little trying to understand what you were saying in terms of turning it over the higher power. But what you're saying, the higher power sort of is there in terms of the responses you were getting and guiding you in terms of what you were saying. So that's what you're saying, but turning it over to higher power. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, and so many people that resist step nine are like, oh my God, do you know what will happen? You know, what if they do this? What if they say that? What if they do that? What if they want $1 million? What if they want to put me in jail? What if they want X, Y, Z? I'm like, okay, here's the thing. You got to go into this saying, okay, God, I'm here to do what you want me to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I stole thousands of dollars from some restaurants that I worked at. And I had to go make amends to both of them and say, you know, I probably stole about $5,000 from you, which is a felony, you know, over time. But I mean, when I do the math, this is what I owe you. And I told my sponsor, I'm like, what if they want to put me in jail? He goes, well, then you'll go to jail and you'll lead AA meetings in jail. You know, and he wasn't being flippant. He was just like, you know, if that's where God wants you to go, that's where you're going to go. I'm like, okay. Now, neither of the places wanted me to go to jail. And, you know, both of them were like, well, we've already accounted for that money. And so it's not the end of the, I mean, you know, we appreciate you coming clean. We appreciate you telling us.
Right.
You know, it's really interesting is one of the women that I made amends to in that situation, she's like, you know, the manager at that time considered you a close friend. So what I'd like you to do to set it right, I would like you to call him and find him and let him know. And I was like, okay, of course. You know, that sounds like a fair thing. By the way, you know what I always forgot? I forgot to tell you, the woman whose credit card I use, when we got done with the amends, she looked at me and she said, you know, I go to Al-Anon, right? And I was like, no, I didn't know that. She's like, no. So trust me, I was so excited when you called because I was really anxious to see, is he just going to BS his way through this and try to make it like my fault or is he going to own it? And I'm like, oh, no, I'm here to own it. This was 100% me. And she's like, you know, that's really impressive. And I was like, well, it's not me. You know, let's be clear. This is not. You know, if it was up to me, I would still be drinking and doing drugs. I just wouldn't have any consequences, you know? And unfortunately, that's not how it works. So, you know, nine is just about cleaning up the mess, you know, and getting, and look, you know, sometimes it's big stuff. Sometimes it's little stuff. Sometimes it's, you know, I was gossiping about you behind your back to our friends and talking trash about you. And I need to let you know that. And that was just an awful thing that I did. And I don't want to be that kind of person, you know? So, you know, for me, you know, the process of making amends really was the step that separated me from, you know, sort of my immature behavior and my adult behavior. You know, it's interesting. Nine is the first time we let you back out into public. You know, for the first 8 steps, we keep you contained because we really want to make sure that you're serious about this. And I'll also tell you another thing, and this is not a popular thing to say. People that don't do nine don't stay sober.
Ah, okay.
They just don't. Mm-hmm. They just don't. People that are sort of looking, you know, they think I'll just quit drinking or they just trying to shuffle their way. I mean, I've sponsored guys that have said, oh, I've made my amends and we start working the steps together. I'm like, okay, so let's take a look at everybody that you listed in the 4th step. Have you made amends to all those people? And if not, why? And they're like, I've never done anything like this before. I don't know what you're talking about, right. You know? And when I've made amends to people, it's really just been calling them up and saying, hey, I'm really sorry that I yelled at you. And I'm like, yeah, that's not making amends. You know, making amends is much more along the lines of getting in there, putting yourself in God's hands and saying, I know what I did was wrong. And I want you to tell me what that was like and tell me what I forgot. And tell me how to make it right, because that's why I'm here. That's why God got me sober, is to clean up this stuff and to live a better life.
But what's the line, the part of if it would harm yourself or others? Where do we find that? How does higher power kind of guide us with that one?
You know, so the way that was defined to me was, if I had done something with somebody, well, there's two ways of looking at it, right? So if I had stolen something with another person, it wasn't for me to say, hey, Steve was with me.
Right.
You know,
right.
That was inappropriate. And then the other thing on that side of it, too, is this is kind of the classic moment in that situation is, well, you know, I was cheating on my wife, but I don't want to tell her because that would hurt her feelings. So I don't have to tell her. And I'm like, yeah, no, that's not how this works. You know, that's you copping out. That's you looking for the quick way out. What I would say is it's when she says, who were you with? No, that's where you keep your mouth shut, because it's not, that's inappropriate. That's you're bringing in somebody else to the situation. If you need to come clean, you come clean. You know, and people tend to get a little edgy about that. Like, but she's going to get mad. I'm like, yeah, she is. But dude, I mean, I got to tell you, I've never seen people stay sober that don't make amends, that don't go all the way through and make amends, you know, and clean up the path. So don't want to live a lie. Mm-hmm. Want to live the truth. Damn.
So one of the boundaries, for example, if someone had an affair and it was with the wife's best friend, you just keep quiet about it, because that's going to hurt the best friend and their relationship, and the best friend and your wife is going to have to deal with that themselves, not you. Is that what I'm hearing?
No. What I would do is I would make amends to my wife and say, hey, I was unfaithful to you. And when she says, who was it with? I'd say, I can't tell you that.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay.
Sorry. I didn't make that clear.
Yeah. Okay. Got it.
Yeah. But I still take responsibility.
Yeah. You take responsibility. And then if she keeps inquiring, that still is between the best friend, let's say, and your wife. And you have to stay out of it because you're not free to tell her that.
Right.
Okay. Gotcha.
That would be injuring somebody else.
Gotcha.
At the cost. We don't get to clear our conscience at the cost of somebody else.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. That was very, very helpful. And is there any final word that you'd like to give us to close out this particular piece?
Well, step 4 and step 9 are what separate the adults from the children in recovery. You know, and I can always tell pretty quickly when I'm talking to someone and we start, you know, talking about recovery, I can tell whether or not they've done this. You know, it's pretty straightforward. And, you know, so I would say that this is really, and always go over every single amends ahead of time with your sponsor.
Ah, okay. I hear you.
Always. Because a lot of people, I mean, including myself, you know, I was like, oh, I got to do this. I got to do that. My sponsor was like, whoa, what did you do here? What's the harm?
Yeah.
It sounds like it was two consenting adults. You know,
right.
You don't have to make amends to every girl you kiss. And I was like, oh, okay. He's like, no, that's guilt. We're not doing guilt. I'm looking for your actions. So always consult your sponsor before you do anything.
Good advice. Yeah. Thank you very much for being here today. And, to people who want to give feedback, remember it's 720-712-8856 or the feedback at aftersight.org. Thank you for being here. Be ready to listen to us next week. Kevin will be back. We'll have more to say. Take care.